Okay, so last Gabor, we were discussing the topic of Piscigere, and we turned our attention to the question of the relevance of Piscigere in other contexts of halacha. Other contexts of halacha where you require a Maisa Adam, so do we have a din parallel to the din we have here in context of Ritzichon, din Bava Kama, in the context of Nezikin, that in the case where Piscigere, in such cases like Sila Katris or Sila Kakarim, or whatever cases are considered Piscigere, which is what we discussed also last time, so do we have that it's no longer considered to be a Maisa Adam, it's no longer considered to be your chetz in those contexts, in those halachos? So here we started with the context of Netiyas Bayim, and I'll just review what we said last time quickly. We started with the background, which is the Mishnah in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey in Yadayim, which presents Machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Chacham, and they both agree that if I were to tip over a chavis and hold it in between my knees as I tip it over and wash my hands from the water that spills out, that would be a good netilas adayim, that would be kosher. But they disagree about two cases.
First case is the case of Kof, the monkey who pours water. So Tanakama thinks it's kosher, netilas adayim, and Rabbi Yossi thinks it's no good. Then you have the second case, which is mata chavis al tzedek. So you tip over a barrel, and the water spills out after you tip it over. You're no longer holding on to it. Okay, there's no physical contact. You're not holding up the barrel in any way, whether between your knees or by your hands. You just tip it over and that's it. So Rabbi Yossi thinks that that's no good. He passes that because dying, whereas the Tanakhama thinks that's okay. That works. So the Rabbi Yossi clearly requires koch gapra. It's a phrase that comes from the Gemara in Daf Kuf Zayin, that it has to be that a person is pouring it, and he thinks that, therefore, kof is no good, and therefore he thinks that this case of matat chav is altseid is no good, because all you're doing is simply tipping over the barrel, but then the water runs out on its own, it flows out on its own. Question is, what are the Rabbanan? So there are two interpretations in Rishonim, what is the sheet of the Rabbanan, and some Rishonim offer both, the Rush and the Rash. One interpretation of the Tanakhama is that he disagrees. It doesn't require koach nesina at all. It doesn't require koach gavra. It doesn't require koach nesina. You don't need to have it come upon your hands as a result of an act of pouring. Simply getting your hands in water is good enough. As long as it's coming from a kli or in a kli, it's good enough. That's what he holds. Therefore, kof is no problem. Therefore, even in this case of mat chavis al tzedek, there's no problem, despite the fact that according to this interpretation, there's no koach gavra there. That's one way to understand Tanakhama. The alternative is to understand that no, Tanakhama 2 requires that there be koach nosin. It needs to be the result of an act of pouring, he doesn't require koach gabra. In which case, there are two machlosos, there are two different machlosos in the Mishnah in Yadayim. One is, do you need koach gabra specifically? Does that have to be the result of an act of pouring by a person, or is koach nosin, an act of pouring, sufficient? In which case, in the nafmina there being kof, so the Tanakhama who thinks you need koach nosin, but not koach gabra, thinks that the nesina ayedah kof is good enough. And secondly, you happen to have machlokas in a case where you turn over the chavis, you tip it over, to the water that's spilling out afterwards, is that viewed as being spilled mikoach gabra? Or do we say, no, that all the gabra did there was turn over the barrel, but the water then flows out on its own? So that's also machlokas. Tanakhama thinks that constitutes koach gabra. The water is flowing now mikoach gabra, and therefore worse than nitiyas adayim. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees. But that's a separate machlokas, much more local. It's an important machlokas we'll come back to in sugyas that come up. But the point is that they both agree on the principle that at the very least you need koach nosin. The only question is whether or not the nosin has to be a gavra or not. Okay? So, in terms of how do we paskin? So, Rav Rishonim say you at the very least need l'halacha koach nosin. Whether because they paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and that's the Rush and the Tur, in which case it's not just koach nosin that you require, but you require koach gavra. Right? It has to be a person who's pouring it. So the Rush and Tur paskin, that if the monkey were to do it, it's no good. Also, Chavis Mut al Tzedek would be no good tip. Whereas, according to the Rambam, who passes like the Tanakhama, according to the second interpretation, according to which the Tanakhama 2 requires Koach Nosin, it just doesn't require Koach Garba, and there's a separate focus regarding the Chavis al Tzedek. But the point is that even the Rabbanan, even Tanakhama, agrees that you require Koach Nosin. Okay, it has to be a result of an act of pouring. You can't put your hands in the water that's spilled either from the ruach or me'elah, whatever it is. It has to be a result of pouring. Okay, this is opposed to the Rashba. The Rashba, who held that you don't need an act of pouring, you can be yotze with water that's flowing on its own as long as it's in a kli. You do need a kli. Where that was gotten from? I mean, what's the model that the or Michai of a kli for, so that's already, we're going to discuss it, but either way, everybody acknowledges this, you need a kli, It can't just be water flowing just on the floor or whatever. So the Rosh, and that's how the Rosh explained the Gemara in Hulin, which, as I just mentioned before, is the Raya, according to the Rambam, for the Rambam in the Rosh and the Tur, that you need Koach, at the very least Koach Nosein, Koach Gavra. The Gemara says there you have, you're not able to use the pipe because the act of pouring, the initial act of pouring, is Lo'asim Koach Gavra anymore once it's running along the pipe. So you need Koach Nesina. The Rashba explains, no, the problem there was really just that the pipe itself, the Rosh Mechadesh, is not a kli. It doesn't count as a kli. And what the Gemara is saying is that had it been that you were washing your hands from the water that was spilled out from the initial act of spilling, so that would have been mikoach kli. That would have been what the Rosh calls koach kli, with the initial pouring, so that was pouring out from a kli. So that, it's not that you need koach kavra, but that would have been koach kli if you had it in that case. But all the Gemara is saying here is that pasach, the initial koach hashvicha, which was the koach kli. There is no necessity for koach gavra. The only thing is that in that case, in the Gemara Kulin, you were dealing with something which wasn't itself a kli, and therefore the only chance it had of being kosher and just daim was if you define it as being, you know, the water that was spilled out as the tail end of the act of initial act of shvicha, and that's what the Gemara is saying you don't have anymore. The Rashba finds a big supporter of his approach in the Bahag. The Bahag who held that you can be, and in the Shulchos as well, that you can be nosein yadayim l'sochakli. You just wash your hands by putting your hands in the kli itself. So, the Rashi made the argument, and for the most part, this is universally acknowledged to be correct, that if you held you need koach nosein, you couldn't say that. Right? Because there's no nesina b'chal. So that was the Rashi. So, the Shulchan Aruch and Chaber notes the Rashi. He notes that there's a daya that holds this way. He actually gives it some credence to the extent that he thinks if you can't do anything else, you might as well do that. But essentially, we paskin against that. Mechaber writes that we require the very least koach nosein. The Mechaber himself quotes both Deos, the Rambam, and the Shar Rishonim, the Rosh and the Tur, regarding whether or not you need specifically koach gavra or sufficient with koach nosein. He himself leans towards the Rambam, whereas the Rama thinks we should be choshesh and machmir for, or at least minhag and Ashkenaz is the machmir for the shitos of the Rosh and the Tur, that you require specifically koach gavra. I don't know how much of a nafkamina that'll be, because I haven't seen too many monkeys, pouring water. But either way, that's what you find in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so that's just the background.
Could it be an automatic water
vent? Automatic what?
Water vent?
No, that wouldn't be koach nosein. That was just mehelov. There's no act of will in any sense.
Plus, it had like some. There are like things that like they're separate. That are not actually male love. They're actually like, let's say you have like a robot like pours the.
A what? Did you say a Rube Goldberg machine?
A robot.
A robot.
Like there are.
No, a robot probably wouldn't be. I don't think it would be.
I'm calling it a robot. It's like a device.
That's already way beyond my pay grade in terms of like defining a robot and
what
qualifies
as a machine.
And you should use it for the purpose of this halacha. I don't know. But it's not. I mean, but a machine that pours is just that's not an act halachically. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming the Nosek Kenam I saw. They say that it's lav dafka kof. It could be other animals too. Probably behema chayva of. I would assume it has to be bali chayim. It can't be something which is, you know, only a bali chayim can do an act. I think a maisa, something like nesina. So I'm assuming that that's the case. Every now and then you find articles of tradition from a particular guy about, you know, sorry for the brain of a dolphin and, you know, cyborg parts, would that be a person? So, I don't know. But the point is, generally speaking, you know, if it's not a bal chai, then it wouldn't be koach nosein. Okay. But either way, the point is that you at the very least require koach nosein. If we're talking about people, so then there's no disagreement. Okay. So, that's the background. Now, the question we raised was, okay, what happens if you have somebody pouring, and then you insert your hands after the water had already started pouring? So according to the Rashba, such a case would be considered piskei geri, right? Because the Rashba, you guys weren't here last time either, but the Rashba held that the case that the Gemara describes in Makos and in Bava Kamma of Yatsa Heaven, Mitachas Yado, and then Hotzi Hala as Rosho. Right, so the Gemara says there that you're pater migalus in that case because the pasuk says umatza esreyu prat lamamti etzasmo. Right, so in that case you're pater migalus, but there's two days in Gemara Bava Kamma whether or not you're chayav nizikin in that case or chayav dal dvar. So the Rashba and the Tosfos both raise the question: how is the idea that holds your chayv in this case consistent with Piskei Geirei? And Tosfos' answer, for one reason or another, is that this isn't Piskei Geirei. Whereas Rashba held it is, and in fact, he thinks that that the idea that held that your chayv in Ezekiel in this case is disagreeing with Rabbah. He doesn't have the principle of Piskei Geirei. But al halacha, that we have Rabbah, Piskei Geirei, so the case of Mamzi Zatzmo, that's going to be Pater ben Ezekiel, just meaning Piskei Geirei. Because at that point, it's, you know, the landscape has changed. You inserted yourself into the trajectory of my arrow, so therefore, or my rock, so therefore you're going to be, it's going to be defined as Pater because Piskei Geirei. So if that's true, so then it would seem that this case of, let's say, Nitzil Sidayim, where you insert your hands after the water's already streaming, so that's Himtzi Tatzma. That should be Piskei Geirei. So would that work or not work? So the truth is that that sounds like it's almost impossible to imagine that that's not included in the Mechaber's description when he talks about the case of Chavis. So he says, Imhita Chavis Mleya Mayim V'Halach V'Yashav Lo V'Chavis Shofeches Mayim Kol Yom Machmas HaTayaso V'Notayah Adam Menu Oslo Lo Netila. So it's Shofeches Kol Yom, so Oslo Lo Netila. So it seems pretty evident there that we're not talking about a case where your hands were under the mouth of the barrel when it was tipped over. The Shofeches Kol Yom, you can use that for water for Yazdayim. So it seems pretty clear that that case is apparently Kasher L'Yazdayim. So maybe you'll say, okay, so maybe that's because we don't assume the Rashi is correct, it's not Piskei Geirei. But this I mentioned last time, that if we do assume Piskei Geirei creates problems, and we say, once Piskei Geirei, so Pasach Kocho, it's no longer Koch Gavra anymore, and therefore it's not Kasher L'Yazdayim, so then there should be other details here. You know, if you're wearing gloves, let's say, so there's no way for the water to get there, just like you have a shield in front of somebody, there's no way for the arrow to get there, so that should be Piskei Geirei. And if that's true, so then if you're wearing gloves at the moment that this happens, so you should say that it's possible to die. Or, if just take a regular case, let's say you have something separating between you and the mayim, so you tip over the barrel, and then you move something in order so that you can reach your hands. That's mamash a case of tris. So it's possible in theory to say, yeah, in Echinami, these cases you really wouldn't be Yotzei Tias Adayim. And I mentioned that the Chazon Ish sounds like he thinks more than that. He thinks that the case that you probably need to have your hands there. He acknowledges that that's not what it sounds like in the Mechaber. The Pashas is that none of these things matter, that you can use the water that's coming out regardless. So the question was why, and this is what we suggested, that we have to distinguish between two different concepts. When we're talking about projectiles, something which I've propelled, so we say koch gufa, but we have to distinguish between two different concepts.
Koch gavra and maisa gavra.
Koch gavra, what that means is, what that refers to, is the source of the motion of the object. What is propelling the object forward? Is it just moving on its own? Is it moving by force of the ruach? Or is it moving by force of a person? If we define a person as the source of its motion, as what propels it, so then we say in that case, it is moving mikoch gavra. That's koch gavra. You are the source, what is propelling the object forward. There's a second question, or a separate issue, which is Maisa Gavra. And that relates to is whether or not we view you as wielding this object as a tool, biyotcha, despite the fact that you release it from your grasp, so we still view it as an implement in your hands. We view you as employing it as a tool, garzam biyarachotzebo, for your Maisa. So that's what we mean when we say that it's a Maisa Gavra. Now normally these things go together. Normally speaking, if it's something which we identify, you know, that you are the one who propelled it, that's moving mikochcha, so then we'll say that's maisa gavra. Whatever happens with it is your maisa. You're doing that. So if you throw it, so since because you have koch gavra there, so it'll be defined as it's your act, it's your maisa. Whereas if you don't have that, if it's just moving on its own or based on some other force, so then it won't be defined as your maisa, right? But perhaps, at least in theory, it's possible to have a case where you have one without the other. And what was relevant to Robert is maybe it's possible to have a case of koach gavra, where you say it's moving the koach gavra, but it's not recognized as being maisa gavra. You could probably have the opposite, or you might have the opposite. That's something we'll come to as we move on to the parak. But at the very least, it's possible you could have something which is defined as, you are defined as the source of its motion, but we don't view you as wielding it, as a gavra who's doing something with the chayvetz. That's sort of the background. And so what we said was, if you set this, and then you can adopt two premises, and you can explain why there won't be a problem of Piskei Geirei for Netilas Adayim. And that is as follows. First of all, Netilas Adayim does not require Maisa Gavra. It requires simply only Koach Gavra. Right? It's not that somebody has to do an act of pouring the water on your hands. No. what it does have to be is that the source of the motion of the water, it has to descend upon your hands, mikoach gavra. So that explicitly, black on white, is the Ravya. The Ravya in Tuf Kuf Samach Zayin. He developed that idea in the context that we've discussed before, which is his understanding that megagel, when you roll something along, so there's a siyua of the floor and sort of keeping it up, so it's not defined as maisa gavra. So that's his chiddush, and we discussed it several times. And therefore he thinks you're going to be putter for Shabbos, let's say you're going to be putter for Tzicha, and Ezekiel, he has rayas, okay. We'll get to all that, actually. But then he says, can ask a kasha, it's implicit, he doesn't ask as a kasha, but he presents it, and it's clear that this is a problem, and he explains why it's not a problem. The kasha is that the Gemara in Chulin, which I mentioned before, about the long pipe, so the Gemara, that Gemara said that it's if you use the water at a distance from the original Shvicha, so then it's going to be possible because the law is in Mekoach Gabe. But in Mekarev the Gabe Davla, but if you get closer to it, so then it's no problem. And the pashas of the Gemara is that this is, even though it's running along the pipe now, it's just that you're very close to it, but it's still running along the pipe. So the implicit kasha on him is, he assumes, like Rav Rishonim, at the very least in Koach Nosim, perhaps Koach Gavra. So how is it then, according to him, that if Megalgel, if anything which is rolling on the ground or is being supported by the ground, is no longer a Maisa Gavra, and if you're going to put the Britzicha, B'Shabbos, etc., etc., so then why is it that this would be Kashlun Tiasadai? And his answer is, black and white, you have it there, because you read it last time, so.
Sure, yeah. Read it again. Says, how does one feel when I'm selling the Tzas, or actually, Ruchat B'Yosir Shafir Dami, because I'll put in a Maisa Gavra, I'll feel a Koach Gavra, Kashar, B'Shabbos.
He doesn't explain what these things mean, but I mean, I think this is what he's saying. Nitiyas Dayim, what you need is that the motion of the water is moving as a result of, by force of, a person. But it's not necessary that the person whose force that is recognized as the wielder of the water. So that's what he's saying. He's saying that it's not, wouldn't be Chayiv, this sort of thing would not be Chayiv in Bersicha and Ezekiel, etc., and Shabbos, which is his point. Nonetheless, it'll work for Nitiyas Dayim, because Nitiyas Dayim doesn't require Maisa Gavra, it requires only Koach Gavra. So clearly that's the Ravya's opinion. Now the second day in the Ravya, he reinterprets the Gemara, maybe it doesn't mean that it's closer to the Makam HaShvicha, but it's still running along the pipe. He says maybe it means before it gets to the pipe. So it's possible that those are two deos about whether or not you need Maisa Gavra in the context of Nitiyas Dayim. But either way, if we assume, like the Ravya, that what you need in Nitiyas Dayim is not the Maisa of somebody pouring, but rather simply that it be Bami Koach Gavra, so then, we can explain very simply, if we assume another thing, and that's the critical point with regard to our sugya, which is, when we say Piske Gere, what that means is that we no longer view you as wielding this, at least with respect to the thing for which it is considered Piske Gere, let's say the person behind the tris. So you're no longer viewed as wielding it, as using it as your implement. It's not a Maisa Gava. Pasak Maisa Hagava. But it is not the case. We still view you, we still identify you, as having provided the propelling force. It's still moving Mikochacha. So the nafkamina is, in the context, this is true, then in the case of Nitiyas Dayim, it will be kasher l'Nitiyas Dayim. Right? Even if you have a tris there, so that we can't say that the person who is matil chavis has done a maisa, nesinas mayim al hayadayim of the other person, but he doesn't need that. All it needs is that it's bami koach gavra, and that you have here, even though piskei geri. Okay? So that's what we left off the last time. So now I just wanted to explore further another area of halacha where the issue of Piske Gere could be raised, and that is the case of Gullus. And it's, in particular, I wanted to just discuss this from the perspective of the Rashba that I mentioned before, and what seems like a question on the Rashba. The Rashba had said that it can't be that anybody would hold that your Chayav bin Ezekin in the case of Mamsi's Atmo, because, after all, that's Piske Gere. So therefore, you should be putter. So the question that one can ask is very simple, which is, Gabi Gullus, the Gemara says, you have a Drasha, that's why you're putter. You're putter based on Ba Prat L'Mamsi's Atmo. According to the Rashba, you can ask a very simple question. Why do you need that drasha? This is a case, according to the Rashba, of Piske Gere. So it's not his maisa anymore. It's not his act. So what's the problem? Why would you ever need, if I'm not chayiv to galus for things which I don't do, or ibishkaga, fine, but that's not me. I'm not killing him there. It's Piske Gere. So this is a question I think one could ask on the Rashba. I actually looked up, saw in a sefer that there's an achron, they quote an achron saying, oh, Prince Rashba, the makor for the din of Piske Gere, he doesn't explain why he thinks this. He just says, it's Bayer Meir Ashba, that the marker for the din of Piske Gere is Bat Pranat's Azma. I don't think that's right. I don't know if he has that idea. I think the alternative, which makes more sense, is that apparently Piske Gere won't have any impact in Gullus. Right? Apparently Piske Gere does not potter you from Gullus. It's still considered to be Ritzicha Bishkaga. So how can that be? After all, Piske Gere, it's no longer his act. So I think along the same lines, as we've discussed, which is that Piske Gere only negates viewing it as a Maisa Gabra. You're no longer viewed as wielding this as an agent using this implement. But it doesn't mean that there's no longer Koach Gabra. We still identify you as having provided the propelling force, the moving force behind this object as it's moving. And you have to accept another premise, which is that in Lagabe Galus, you don't need Maisa Gabra. Sufficient to have Koach Gabra. And here I think I have a raya, or not a raya, but it's an indication that this might be the case. And that is from the following point. The Gemara Mavakama, we saw it, discusses the case of somebody who has an Evan on his lap and he doesn't realize it, and then he knew about it, but then he forgot about it, and he stood up. So the Gemara says in Mavakama, in that case, you're going to be chayv galus. If hikir ba first, if you knew about it initially, so then, and you just simply forgot about it, so that's going to be chayv galus, right? This is the Gemara in Baba Kama and Chavav, which you've seen. Ha'itza evim unachza b'cheiko v'lo hikirba. V'amav v'nafal in izakin chayev, because other mod olam, in a bradvar and pater, in a shavetz, not the shavetz, in gal is pater. So then the Gemara says, but if hikirba v'shachacha v'amav v'nafla, in a izakin chayev, in a dvar and pater, in gal is chayev. Gal is chayev. So that case, I think, is pretty clear. It can be defined and designated as misasik. Misasek is a notion that we get from the Gemara in Krisos, from the Pesukim, obviously, but the Gemara in Krisos derives it ba l'choch chet asher yachata o hoda ilav chataso asher chata ba with respect to it, probably misasek. You didn't realize you were doing that activity. So it happens to be that there's a machlokes rishonim about what exactly is included in the category of misasek. What are the parameters of misasek? According to Rashi, the Rashi, the Tosas and Yates, Manalav and Krisos, and the Shabbos as well, according to Rashi, misasek refers specifically to cases where you physically didn't implement, in terms of your physical motion, in terms of the movement of your body, you deviated from what you had planned on doing. So if you have, for instance, two pieces of meat, one chelev, one shuman, you knew which one was which, you intended to reach for the shuman and to eat it, but you ended up taking the chelev accidentally, because looking away, you brought back the wrong one. You know, this happens to me frequently. Looking for the Ritva and Chulin, I see the Ritva and Makos, Ritva and Chulin, I reach for the Ritva and Chulin, and take back to my Makom, and it turns out I took the Ritva and Makos. You know, on Shabbos, you had an apple which was Bechubar, an apple which was Talush. You thought you were reaching for the Talush, you looked away, it ended up being that you physically grasped the other one, the Bechubar, so you ended up doing Ksira. So that's a case, for Jirashi, that's Misasik. Tosos is more expansive. Tosos thinks that misasek, even in good cases, where you physically executed your plan to perfection, in other words, in terms of the movement of your body, you did precisely what it was that you had intended to do. So you picked up this apple, in other words, and you thought it was talush. It turns out, nimtza, that it was mechubar. So that too is misasek, where I thought I was doing an act of just picking up an apple, and it turns out that it was mechubar, so that I did an act of ksira. Now the question arises, according to Tosos, so then what precisely is the difference between shogeg, regular shogeg, and misasek. Some achronim understood Tosos to answer that they understand Tosos and Krisos and Shabbos to say that shogeg is limited to, is the only case of regular shogeg really is where omer mutter, you made a mistake with regard to the did. So that you executed your plan to perfection, not only physically, but also the conditions were what you thought they were, just that you were mistaken about whether or not this thing was mutter or not. According to some achronim, this is what Tosos has in mind as being the case of shogeg. Any mistake with regard to the metzias is going to be considered misasek. That is extremely mechudash. The less radical way to understand it is that according to Tosfos, not every toes of metzias is automatically misasek. Rather, it's only when you made a mistake which changes the nature of the act. Right? If I were to wave a knife in the air with nothing there, so that's just an act of waving a knife. If there's wheat there, so that could be an act of ksira. If there's a person there, it could be an act of chavala, it could be an act of ritzicha. The point is that depending on what's there, so that's an entirely different kind of act. So in the case of misasek, what you have is you misidentified a certain detail in the metzius, but it wasn't just any detail, it was a detail that changes the whole nature of the act. So I thought this apple was talush, and therefore what I thought I was doing was an act of agba b'alma, just an act of picking up an apple, and because of the detail that I misidentified, that it turned out it was mechubar, so what I actually ended up doing wasn't agba at all, it was kotzer. So that's the case where you have misasek, where you didn't intend to do the kind of act that you ended up doing. Okay, either way, the point is, for us, that regardless of whether or not you side with Rashi or Tosos, even according to Rashi's more restricted definition of misasek, the case of Mavakama and Avchavav seems to clearly be at least no less than misasek. here, I don't even know that I have a pebble on me. So lo miskaven l'shum zrika. If you ask me what I'm doing, I'm standing up, I'm not throwing anything, I'm not pulling anything. So that seems to clearly be misasik. And the truth is, you don't even need to go to the Gemara Mevu Kama. If you look at the case the pasuk discusses, right, the case of Inashal HaBarzel, you know, you lift your axe up, and then the axe head flies off the handle, Inashal HaBarzel, Menait. So that case, you're going to be chayev, that's a case of Roseach Hashgag. That case is, again, clearly classic misasik. Right, you want to read it? Go ahead. Yeah, so that's clearly misasik. There you had no intent whatsoever to throw anything. You were just lifting your axe up on the way to swinging down. So why is this relevant? The din of misasik is, if you're not chayv korban. Rav Kiveger, in a classic tshuva in Simen Ches in Madur Kama, raises the question of how do we understand the din of misasik? Is it simply a ptur korban? Meaning it's in the same genre as an Aveira B'Shogeg, but it's an Aveira B'Shogeg which is such that it actually is Padre Mikorban, because they're even more blameless. Or, no, it's actually not a Maisa Aveira at all. And the reason it's not a Maisa Aveira at all is presumably because it's simply not a Maisa Adam at all. Something which you end up doing which was not at all your intent. In fact, it was not what you intended to do. So that's something which involves your goof. But it doesn't involve you as an agent. Right? In other words, this is sort of reminiscent of a good model for that is Rav Chaim, right? In the first Rav Chaim in the Chibur, where he discusses the case of Tosos, which Joseph mentions, uses to prove that you guys did Yehari Vayavur recently, right? So, did you guys do it? No? Tosos' principle is that B'Sheva Taisa, so we end up saying, even for the Gimel Averos, Yavur Vayehari. And they use as a raya misvara. After all, does it make any sense to say that if somebody says either I kill you or I'm going to throw you onto somebody else, onto some tinok and kill him, kill the tinok? So obviously you're not going to be mechuyev to be moser nefesh there. That was the raya. The Rambam isn't mechalik between sheva taisa and kumbiyase. This is the first of time in the chibur. He isn't mechalik in sheva taisa the kumbiyase. So what does he say to those cases? And does the Rambam think you can chayv moser as asma there if there's no chiluk? So the Rav Chaim explains, no, of course you're not chayv to be moser zatzmacha there, but the reason is not because you're committing ritzicha b'sheva taisa. The reason is because you're not engaged in an act of ritzicha b'chal at all, in any sense. It's not passive ritzicha, it's a non-ritzicha. Who's engaged in the act of ritzicha here? The thrower. I'm just a tool in his hand. Kegarzim b'yad chotzipo. So, of course you're not going to be chayv to be moser nefesh because you're not at all engaged in ritzicha. The other guy's engaged in ritzicha using you. But that's involving you as a goof, or I should say differently. That's involving your body, it's not involving you as a personality. Somebody's using your guf to commit ritzich. So that's possible, that's how we understand misasik. That basically, an act which wasn't intended at all, the Torah does not attribute that to the person. It's a phenomenon that happens with this guf, but it isn't halachically an act. And Rav Kiveger cites several nafkaminas for this, the Hafrisho Miyisuro, right? If somebody sees that somebody's about to engage in an act of misasik, you have a responsibility to prevent him. Tande Vichiski that he mentions, right? Would you be Pater Mitashlum in the case of misasik? So he mentions that as a nafkamina. So, Rav Kiveger himself is a mechalik between Shabbos and Kol Torah Kula. Kol Torah Kula, you have the makor, but part misasik. In Shabbos, you have also an additional element of Melachos HaShabbos of Torah, it's a topic in its own right. But Rav Kiveger suggests that there's a difference in terms of not so much what counts as misasik, which was the Tosos held, but rather what the nature of misasik is. Kiveger believes that in Kol Torah Kula is an aveira, you are Pater Mikorban, but it is an isser, whereas on Shabbos, it's bechal not an isser.
At all. Now, Rick Veger himself notes that it's clear that there are several Achronim who did not agree with him on this, not the least of which is the Nesivos.
The Nesivos in his Mekor Chaim asks, why is it we mechaye people to be bodek, to be vatal, chametz for Pesach, from chametz that they may or may not have, they don't even know about it, the whole thing's misasik. There's no aveir bechal here, so what's the problem? Why would we do this? That's his question, and he answers, misasik doesn't apply here because misasik is only for an aveir k'sheyesh b'mais. So Rav Kiveger says, first of all, the answer is strange. And moreover, the question assumes something which I believe is incorrect, which is that there's no Isser here. But there is an Isser, and therefore it makes sense that we could be mechayev you to try to avoid doing an Isser. It's true, it would be an Isser b'shogeg, or even less than that, but it's still an Isser. But it's clear that the Nesivos do not believe that. Both the question and the answer reflect the idea that the basis for Tur Misasik is simply not your act. Therefore, it makes sense to have asked the question, why should we metakein something to be mechayev bedika or bittel for things which you don't even know about it, the misasik, because misasik is bechal not aser. And secondly, his answer now can be understood. What he's saying is, misasik means that we don't attribute this act to you, but if you don't require an act, like you don't require a bayar abayimatse, so then there's going to be no relevance to misasik. So that's a machlokas achor. So why is this relevant to us? Why do I mention this? Misasik is chayav galus. A person who commits a rotzeach b'shkaga, even if it's misasik, will be chayav galus. So is that obvious? So if you understand that misasik is a patur korban, so then it's not obvious, but it's quite understandable. Right? In other words, you committed ritzicha b'shkaga here. You did an act of ritzicha. It was shogeg. It was a little bit more than shogeg in the sense that you didn't even intend to do the pilula, which you ended up doing. But it's all maaser ritzicha b'shkaga, and therefore it's understandable that you're chayav galus. But if you hold, like the achronim, if you take the other approach at misasik, it's not a maaser adam mechal. It's just physically involved your goof, but you're not defined as an osa davar here. I should mention, Makor Chaim doesn't discuss this, but I think a good raya for the notion that misasik isn't even a maaser adam is achronim in Rosh Hashanah and Chav Ches that hold that even lamanda amar mitzvos enon tzrichos kavana, misasik is not going to be yotze. The simplest way to understand that is it's just not a maaser adam. You haven't been tokei a shofar there. You know, there's no shmiyah shofar there because it's not a maaser adam. Okay, so if that's the case, if it's true that it isn't a maaser adam bichlal, so then how can it be that I'm chayav galus in ritzicha? Right? Do you guys get the question? So I think that one could suggest, I haven't seen this, but I think one could suggest that misasik, even if you understand that it's not a maaser gavra, you might still say that it is koach gavra. Projectile that has been launched as an act of misasek, hikir b'shachab, it omeid, and it falls and it damages, so such an act, which is misasek, but still the projectile is defined as moving mikoch gavra. It's true that you're not an osa wielding the implement, you didn't even know about it, but it's still moving mikocha. If that's the case, so then what do we see from the fact that you're chayav galus misasek? Apparently, in order to be chayav galus, it isn't necessary to do a maaser ritzicha b'shkaga. It's sufficient if somebody dies as a result of something which is moving kochacha. As long as it wasn't honest. If it was honest, like lohi kirba, so then you'll be pater because it's honest. Separate to it. But if it isn't honest, let's say you should have remembered, right? So you're not in the parsha of onis, even if it's misasik, in which case you would have said, well, there's no maaser ritzicha. So it's true, there is no maaser ritzicha. But what you have here is koach gavra. The projectile is being flung forward as a result of your koach, you're propelling it. True, you weren't even aware that you were doing such a thing, so it's not a maaser gavra, but it's still propelled mikoach gavra, and that's sufficient. That's what the Torah is saying. Menashal habarzel, in that case, where you should have known better, right, because it's shogi and not honest, you're going to be chayav galus. And if that's true, so then we can explain the Rashba very simply, right? The Rashba held that mamtzias asmo is a case of piskei geirei, right? If you insert yourself into the trajectory of the object which I've thrown after I've already thrown it, so then we say piskei geirei. It's no longer viewed as my chitza. Okay? It's no longer kochel gufo, no longer kochel, no longer gufo, whatever it is, we don't attribute it to you anymore. So therefore, you're going to be pater l'inyan nezek. There's no way you could have been mechayev nezek if you hold a piskei geirei. That's the Rashba.
Okay, so then why for galus do we need the pasuk of prat lehamtzi et atzmo in order to exempt you? Because for galus, you don't need a maaser gavra.
Even koach gavra is sufficient. Hence, even misasik can be chayev begalus.
And the Rashba accepts the principle that we said before, which is that when you say piskei geirei, what that means is that we no longer view you as an osa, as an agent wielding it as an implement, such that whatever happens with it, we view as your act. That we don't have anymore, but we still view it as moving mikocha, still mikoch gavra. And therefore, l'inyan galus, we're going to say that you're chai.
Okay, so does everybody understand that? Everybody got that?
Okay. So one can raise the question now regarding the shechita. We've discussed before, the Gemara Nechulin Daf Lamed Aleph says it needs to be b'zavakta v'achavta, mashat ha-zaveya, chata ochel, as opposed to something which is shechted me'elav, right? This is the mission of Nafla Sakin v'shachta hafavi sheshachta kidarka, psula sh'ne'amar, v'zavakta v'achavta, mashat ha-zaveya. So if a knife just falls, let's say the knife on the table, and then the wind comes in and picks it up and flies into the animal, it happens to do a good shechita. It didn't do any of the things that are posel shechita. So it's still going to be possible because it lacks v'zavachta v'achata mashita zaveya chata ochel.
Gemara notes, Gemara mentioned that
nafla is no good, but hipila is good. If you throw it down, so it's moving mikochacha, so that will be good, that will be a good shechita. After all, kochacha, right? Fine. So what about if I had a shield? Let's say I throw it, a pila. There's a shield in front of it, and then the shield, after I threw it, the shield is removed. And now it hits the animal's neck and does a good shechita. Is that going to be kasher? So, first of all, I think there might be somewhat of a raya, at least for the Rashba. The Gemara, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, quotes one of the Amoraim, who threw a knife into the air, and it ends up hitting a bird that was flying and doing good shechita. So it's kasher. That works as shechita. So in that case, the bird is not just like a hovercraft sort of hovering over. I mean, no birds can do that. Can they stay stationary in the air? Either way, the what?
Unless there's like wind kind of
right,
wind,
right.
Then probably,
probably not, right. So the bird is moving, and yet Yishchit is good. Now, if you hold like the Rashba, that Mamsi's Asmo is Piskei Gerei, that when I throw it, whatever wasn't in the trajectory of the projectile that I threw is going to be considered Piskei Gerei. If it just moves into that area after I've thrown it, it's Piskei Gerei. It's Yishchita. So then what emerges is that apparently Piskei Gerei doesn't make a difference with Shechita. How do you guys follow that? I think it's a relatively good raya for the Rashba. Well, that Piskei Gerei includes cases where something wasn't in the trajectory and it just moves into the trajectory, that's Piskei Gerei. Unless you say that the bird is moving is something which you should anticipate, I don't know. But it's a reasonable raya. But anyway, the question itself can be raised, and I think it would depend on these two questions. First of all, is it true, though, what I'm saying, that Piskei Gerei, all it does is negate Maisa Gavra, but it does not mean that we now no longer define it as moving Mikoa Gavra. If you hold that it does mean that, we no longer define it as Mikoa Gavra, then you won't have these Nafkaminas. And secondly, what about Shechita? Shechita, does that require Koa Gavra, or do you need Maisa Gavra as well? And that we'll come back to, but I should note that if my argument about Misasik is correct, is that when it comes to Misasik, according to the Zachronim, who hold that it isn't the Maisa Adam, it still is Koach Gavra. If something's been projected as a result of Misasik, you can still view it as Koach Gavra. So then it would likely be the case that this will work. We'll get to that. We'll come back to whether or not Shechita is totally on Koach Gavra or Maisa Gavra. But okay, so I think we can move on to the next point, or what do you think? Just quickly? I'll start it. How about that? Right, we still have a little time? Is that all right? Sure. Okay, so that's it for Piskei Gerei. I think I mentioned everything. I just wanted to mention one other point, which is there's a Nafkamina Ladina, according to what I'm saying, which I couldn't find any way to discuss it. But let's say somebody pours water as a result of an act of misasik. Let's say there was a cup of water in their hands and they didn't realize it, they stood up. And you manage to get in your hands there. According to what I'm saying, I think it would be, the implication is that should be good. Because if what I'm saying is true, the misasik, even if it's not a maisa adam, it's still koach gavra. So if we assume, like that first day in the Rav Yah, that you don't need maisa gavra, it's sufficient to have koach gavra, so then what emerges in that case should be good. I don't know anybody discusses misasik, benitas daim, but that's... also not enough kamina, which I think will happen too often, but at least in terms of just for knowledge, I think that it's a question I could raise. Okay, so the next case in the Gemara is just a case which sort of we skipped over a little bit, but it's a case I want to discuss because it's there, which is the case before the tris. Dachba lebor besulam mebor, ubaachar besilko, afil hu kadam besilko pater. Why? Deveina deshadia yachal lalosu. Right, so what happened was, I pushed somebody into a boar. At the time I pushed him, there was a ladder there. So it was yachal lalos hisham. At some point afterwards, after my act of pushing, the ladder was removed. Rashi indicates that it's even if it was removed before he falls in. So the Gemara says, even if you, the dochet himself, is the one who's misalik, so still you're going to be putter in this case. Why? Why should he be putter? So clearly the siluk is an act of grama ba'ama. That's the same as siluk tris. That's just an act of grama ba'ama, that's the assumption. But why is the act of dechifa not going to be mechayiv in this case? Because the be'idna deshadya yachal alos. So with regard to this din, I think the question that we would ask is, how does this relate, this tour, how does it relate to the tour in the Mishnah, the tour which is implied in the Mishnah, of somebody who's dochef with bor, yachal alos hisham, below Allah, right? The Gemara had said, the reason that you're going to be put in that case, kevan de yachal alos hisham b'meis, but since you could have gone up, you just simply didn't go up below Allah, so you're putter. Right? That was a tour that we sent. Time on of Hayachal Allah's below Allah. So, how does this tour here relate to that tour there? Meaning, how does the tour in this case of where I'm Dochif Labor, the Sulam Labor, and somebody comes and removes the Sulam, so how does that relate to the tour in the case where nobody removed the Sulam, was there, but he never got up? And he dies in the end from the gaseous fumes or from the water in the bore, whatever it is. Are they related? So, I think it depends on the basis for the tour of the Mishnah. I mean, the tour in the case of Kevin Shahayo Chalalos below Allah. Now we have to just go back to what we discussed then. If the basis for the tour in the Mishnah was that Ein Bakedei L'Hamis, right, like Rashi held, right? That it was lo abe be shir misa. And this is the Rashi who says, why is it putter he came into Yachal Alas? Look, it's lo abe be shir misa. You haven't done an act of, which is akash yesh bakidil amis. So then I think it's very clear that this is precisely that tour. In other words, this is just an application of that same principle. And the point being, right, that what the Gemara says here, the in the shadi Yachal Alas, who, so the point is precisely what Rashi said in the case of Techiva Lebor, Kisha Yachal Alas, lo ala, which is that lo abe be shir misa. The dochev was not obi beshir misa. His dechiva was not an act which was yachol hamis. If, likewise, if the basis was what we suggested, one of the possibilities that when it comes to a situation where over time conditions can become lethal, or potentially lethal, but which can easily be avoided, it can easily be escaped, so somebody who places someone in such a context, that's simply not defined as a maaser ritzicha, right? Because it's so easily avoidable, the harmful conditions are easily avoidable or escapable. So that isn't the Maaser Ritzicha, just on its own. So then we can also understand that that's the same principle, and that's what the Gemara is referring to here. Although, if this is true, then there's a little bit of an added chiddush here. And the added chiddush is that apparently this property of whether or not an act is easily escapable is determined b'shas ha-dechifa. You could have said maybe it's determined over the course of time. In other words, a case of Yachal Alas V'la'Allah, the whole time he's able to get out. Here, he's already not able to get out at some point. Or in the Rashi, it's even before he falls in. Right, so now the boar is no longer able, I can't get out of the boar. So you just have to add, which is not a chiddush, it just wasn't obvious, you didn't know this just from the Torah of Payachal Alas Allah, that determination of whether or not this is an act which is easily avoidable and extractable, that we made at the Shas HaDechiv. That determines the character of the Maisa, and if it's something which is easily avoidable, at that point it will now be defined as non-Maisa Ritzicha. That's similar to what we said in the context of Garmi, for the Me'iri, explaining why, according to the Me'iri, the Zrika Sachet is not going to be Garmi because it's not an ICS Maisa Mafsid, right? So he said that apparently the determination of the nature of the act as a Maisa Mafsid or not is made Bishas HaPe'ula itself, meaning the initial Pe'ula. Okay. However, if the basis is any of the other approaches that we saw in Roshonin, if the basis for the Torah of HaYidachal Alos V'lo Allah is any of the other approaches, then I think it's quite clear that we're dealing with something completely different. Right, where are the other two? One is midinamas, right? The Tosos of Avakama, came into Lohavilay Asuke Daite. Right? How could I anticipate that this person would willingly allow himself to die when he had the power to remove the Dabra which is killing? So that's the basis for the tour there. So clearly that won't apply here. Why? Because here, what does the Gemara specify? Even.
Do it yourself.
Yeah, even if you do it yourself. So it can be that it's based on anus. And. Moreover, if the basis for the tour of Hayachal Alos V'lala was the Ramban's understanding of it, which is what? Shias HaNizak, the Nizak is Poshea B'Atzmo in that case, so therefore you're not going to be Chayev, right? In the case of Hayachal Alos V'lala, or Hayachal Levroch, or Hayachal Salik V'lo Asa, so the Ramban understood that why is it your Pater in that case? Because the Nizak is Poshea B'Atzmo. So that's the basis for the tour, so clearly it isn't relevant at all here, that's not what we're seeing here. What we're seeing here is the case where I push him into the boar, and I remove it, and according to Rashi again, even if before he falls in, so that's obviously not going to potter me here. But then you really have two questions. You know, according to the Tosos and the Ramban's understanding, then you have two questions about this Gemara. First of all, just what is it that exempts you? Right? What is the basis of Torah here? And you can formulate this as a kasha. And the kasha is, how does the fact that what the Gemara says, Be'idna Neshadju Yachol Lalosu, how does that exempt you? That's true, that fact, that Be'idna Deshadya Yachal Alasu, that's true also in the case where the ladder was there the whole time, you just ended up not getting up out of it. And yet, if not for the fact that, let's say, according to Tosfos, it's anus, because I couldn't have anticipated that you wouldn't do it, and if not for the fact that, according to the Ramban, there was an element of Pshias and Nizak, we would have been Mechavi, would have said that that's your Chai for pushing him into a boar, which Yahai Yachal Alas Misham. Right? So how can this be puttered? In the shadi yachal alos, hishkach yachal alos. He was able to be ola in the case in the Mishnah too. And the only reason you puttered me there, or you puttered the person there, is because it was honest, you couldn't have anticipated him not leaving, or because the fact he didn't leave is self-inflicted, and that's a principle that potters you. Here you don't have any of those. You guys get the question? You get the question?
I think so.
That's question number one. And then question number two is really the flip side, is, so let's say for whatever reason, you're puttered this case, for whatever reason, the fact that Be'inu Deshadya Yahya Yachal Alos forms a basis to padu you. So if that's true, taking back the other way, why do you then you need to say Anus or Pshias and Nizak? Why not say, you know why you're padu the case where I push you into the boar and there was a sulam bibor. You know why I punched in this case? Not because it was self-inflicted. And not because it was on us and I couldn't have anticipated. Simply because whatever principle I have here. Be'inna d'shadya yachal alasu. However you explain it, whatever it is, let's say it over there too. Right? I think these are fair questions. Should we leave it off with the question as a question? Or?
Yeah, we'll leave it off here.
Alright,
leave it off. Okay?
Yeah.
Alright,
because you can't.